Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, welcome to Siempre Pa'lante. Pa'lante. Siempre Pa'lante. Bienvenido, mi gente. Welcome to Siempre Pa'lante, Always Forward. I'm your host, Giraldo Luis Alvarez. Gracias for listening. In this episode, our guest started with Dos Croquetas and a Dream. In a crowded field of croquetas, they are Miami's first croqueta bar, leading the way with nothing but flavors that keep you coming back for more. Familia taught our guest the value of work ethic, honesty, and selflessness. Their support provided the foundation to the success they have today. From Abuelita's influence in the kitchen to Sunday morning visits at La Ventanita in Miami, please welcome the founders and owners of Dos Croquetas, Alec y Vicky.
So we want to get right into it. Let's get into the carne con papas. Maybe we can do a croqueta, carne con papa. Who is Dos Croquetas? What is Dos Croquetas?
Dos Croquetas is made from Vicky and I. So she's actually my aunt. So we're a family business. And we're Miami's first craft croqueta bar.
So that's like the nice little elevator pitch. Vicky, you know I'm not going to let Alec off the hook. We got to get a little deeper into that. Just like the croqueta making process, it's a science, una ciencia, what you've done. Let's take it a little further back about Dos Croquetas. Tell us a little bit more about the story. This is familia entre familia now, so let's talk a little bit about that.
It started back in 2016. So the idea came from just visiting Ventanitas all my life. I'd go with my dad every Sunday morning, and it was just really weird. I know it was a Sunday. And I went to the Ventanita and I remember like hearing the person in front of me say Dos Croquetas. And then the next person say Dame Dos Croquetas y una colada. And the next person say Dame Dos Croquetas again. And I'm like, wait a minute. People say Dos Croquetas in Miami all the time. Like, this is what we order. And that idea just stuck with me in the head. I just forgot about it. I remember I went to go check if there was doscroquetas.com available, whatever IP, whatever social media we can get that's Dos Croquetas. And then I approached Vicky and I said, like, hey, I really, really want to make a croqueta company. There's like nothing in Miami like this. Everyone's really just kind of doing ham, chicken, or cheese. There's nothing really like exciting and innovating in the space. And then she made me make a croqueta to prove how hard a croqueta is to make. I mean, you can kick off the rest.
Yeah, I was like, you know, there's a ton of croquetas in Miami. Every corner, there's croquetas. So you want to start a business making croquetas in a market that's saturated with croquetas? So I told him, do you know how hard it is to make it? And he was like, nope, no clue. I gave him a recipe. It wasn't even my recipe. It was a nitza villapol recipe, you know, which is like a very famous Cuban recipe. You take it, you run with it, and then you tell me how it went. And he did. To my surprise, he did it. He calls me, he's like, tia, come try the croqueta. I'm like, I can't believe you did it. And I had it and I was like, it's not so bad. Not so bad. Not so good.
So hard to make.
Yeah. I mean, like, I just wanted him to understand like the process. I come from the food industry, so I know processes and the time that it takes to make everything, and especially croquetas. He made it. I said, oh, okay, you understand how difficult. He's like, yeah, you know, let's do this. So we talked about how and what we're going to do. And just from there, it started the idea of different flavors of croquetas. You know, it's things that we like to eat.
Shout out to all the abuelitas, to all the moms, to mommy. Even dads, you know, like our families, our upbringings, you know, growing up Cuban, we experience it, we enjoy it, we love it, pero es trabajo.
Mar, we get to eat it.
It goes a little further back. Vicky, you said about the food industry. You have experience. Share a little bit about that.
I used to own a catering company. And then after having kids and stuff, I went to go work for a high-end caterer. So all of that was preparing myself for basically this journey as well, and learning how to make mass quantities and doing like high-end catering. It was the flavor profiles. And so just a lot of research, a lot of testing, a lot of eating. So all of it was trying to find those flavors and flavor combinations that we like.
Knowing that, and then Alec comes in, I want to do this Dos Croquetas idea, this business. So take us a little through that beginning journey.
The fascinating part of starting anything, especially something you have no idea about, is that there's kind of like a little bit of numbness to failure because you don't know what you're doing. So you just kind of keep going. You don't understand. You're just kind of like in this box of being so focused to create something. So, I mean, we literally started like Amazon.com. We bought two little $80 fryers. I set the website up myself. All the social media I did myself. And then Vicky and I would literally just make the croquetas. We found like a commercial kitchen that was really affordable at the time per month that we would share the space with them. We put on like our little rinky-dinky logo on the outside of the warehouse. We put on like little neon lights, like whatever we could to just amplify the space because it was terrible. It's a warehouse in the middle of nowhere and we're selling croquetas from it. And not only that, but we're selling gourmet croquetas from a warehouse in the middle of nowhere. We really had to figure out how do we make it feel like an experience. We were open until 2 a.m. in the beginning and it was like doing a croqueta drug deal in the middle of the night, just selling croquetas outside. We could be making the croquetas. I'd have my hairnet on, making the croquetas next to her, just her and I. The doorbell would ring. I'd take off my hairnet. I'd run to the front of the door, my little iPhone square reader, take an order, then go right back inside and cook their order.
And then people would like ring and say, is this where I get croquetas? Since we were in such a shady little area, shady meaning not the best, you had to kind of like oversell it, oversell yourself and oversell like the croquetas and stuff. And then people weren't sure. And so a lot of people would just say, okay, well, let me, you know, like try one or two. And then they would just come back and they would come back and tell your friends. And so it was nice when you had those repeat customers. And then all of a sudden, oh, this person told me to come. And this person, it was just pickup at first. But then people said, hey, can we sit outside? And like, do you want to sit in this parking lot? You know, there's a big garbage can there. It was in Doral and it wasn't the best area. And it wasn't a place where you can just drive by and see it. So you had to search for us. Then they started coming and it was nice because we realized that we had something and we realized that we had something that, you know, creating something that's craveable for people. And then they were like, you know, ordering it a couple times a week and sometimes even twice in a day. That was the coolest thing ever.
So now you're at this point. Demand is probably through the roof by now. We got to expand. We got to do something where it's in a different area. So take us to that piece because I feel that's important because that's the transition, right? You have something special. Now we got to evolve.
Yeah. So we did the pop-up out of that warehouse for like, I want to say like a year. And then we've always known like since the beginning, we really need to open a location. We need to open a location because we knew that people were coming to the middle of nowhere. So they're definitely going to come to a store that's beautiful and hopefully a great experience. Probably the hardest decision we've ever made because it's an incredible risk to get into the brick and mortar and actually get into the restaurant business. The risks are everywhere. So the risks are employees. We're going from like a team of two people, four people in the beginning to now like 30 people. So you're dealing with a lot of different variables in the business. Then you're also dealing with the risk of funds that you have to take a loan out to get a store. And then you have to deal with the risk of, are we going to have any sales? Are people going to go purchase all the time? Because everyone knows that the restaurant industry is very, very challenging and you need to make sure that you have a great concept and the food needs to back up the reputation. So back then, like in the warehouse, your expectations were kind of like, like whatever, it could be good, it could be bad because you're in the middle of nowhere. But now, like, you know, we have such a large social media presence. Now we have a brick and mortar store. Now there's a lot of word of mouth. So now the croquetas better be good. And that's a big part of our culture of like, we need to back up the expectations. We need to meet expectations because they're through the roof. We're the first croqueta bar in Miami. We're craft croquetas. Our branding is something that we worked really hard on to make it incredible. So like these things better be amazing. So that was really tough when we decided to open the store. Psychologically, I would say more than anything, because it's scary. Risk is scary in general. That's like what holds people the most back in life is not taking risks. And then we opened the brick and mortar on May 19th of 2019. And it was the wildest thing we have ever experienced in our lives.
It was like, mind blowing.
We literally had a line from the front of the building to the end of the building for hours. It did not stop. And it was just surreal. It felt fake because first you think like, is anyone going to come? And then you think like, oh, all right, fine. Some people are going to come. But we had no idea that it was going to be that crazy.
Yeah. It's not only just the day of opening and stuff, but it was also, you realize that it's not necessarily, you know, the end result. It's like the journey as well too. And so building everything and looking for the location and just being part of it, like being in it, doing all of that and doing even demolition inside there. I mean, it's ours. Like we did it, everything ourselves, our taste, everything that we envisioned. It's really nice to see that come to fruition. And then the cherry on top was just having like a massive opening where it's like there were so many people there. I mean, we just kept on telling ourselves, like, can you believe this? Like, can you believe this? Like, you know, we want to pinch yourself because you want to really realize like this is real. And so something that we've worked so hard for, it was so well received and it was beyond any of our expectations. And then came the hard work, even more hard work.
Keeping up with demands.
That's when you really realize that we're not small anymore. We have to now keep up with the demands and people are coming from far, like Palm Beach and stuff, driving down, and you know, we're running out of stuff because we just can't even keep up with it. So there was a process there of trying to keep up with everything and making sure that we have everything in stock so that we don't let anybody down, because that's the worst thing, is letting somebody down when they've driven so far and they're like, I came to try this. That was a horrible feeling, but it happened. It happened because there was so much demand and it was amazing. It was amazing, but a lot of stress on that. A lot of very sleepless nights of just basically making croquetas all night and rolling. And those are the things that people don't necessarily see, because you're just getting to a restaurant and you're like, I want to be served. And we'd have to explain, we're not buying croquetas from Cisco or GFS or, you know, anywhere. We're making them. It's a laborious process. It's a 2-3 day process. And we have to make this with our hands. You guys don't understand this. So that was a little bit of a struggle at first, because people didn't understand that. They were like, just buy more. We're not buying more. Every single thing that goes into our croquetas is like top quality. Every different layer to make that, it's a long process. And that's why I think our croquetas really stand out and they're so special.
Did you know, sabías que? Dos Croquetas was founded in 2016 by Alec and Vicky with a mission to bring the best handcrafted croquetas to Miami. They strive to create innovative and unique flavors using only the finest ingredients. I've tried quite a few, and I recommend you start with the award-winning Medianoche Croqueta. Then go in with the 305, Buffalo Cracked Chicken, Mac and Cheese, Bacon Cheddar Burger, Roasted Chicken, Guava Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Arroz con Leche, and Oreo Croquetas. Don't forget the sauce. Mango Lime, Dos Ranch, and the Dale sauce make a perfect match to your croqueta. Keep in mind, these are only just a few. Still hungry? They got sandwiches, bowls, shakes, cafecitos, and of course, the Lit Slushies featuring Guavarita Lemonade and Jupiña Margarita. Stop by Dos Croquetas, order a flight, wash it down with a Lit Slushie and cafecito. Not in Miami, they ship nationwide. Don't forget to tell them Giraldo sent you. Now back to the show.
Take us through the Cliff Notes version, because I know that there's more to it to make croquetas, but the process, so people understand, because I feel like you said, you show up, quiero dos croquetas, because I want to eat.
Right. We have some croquetas that are bechamel based, and then we have some croquetas that are not. And a lot of places, when they make croquetas, it's bechamel based. So they make their bechamel and they add in like a ham, or they'll add in chicken, or they'll add in whatever. All of our bases are different. So it's not like we're producing this big, massive amounts of bechamel and just flavoring it. So that's why each one of them are different, because they all have their own personality and they all have their own techniques. And so they're each very different. When it's a bechamel, it's layered in with flour and butter and whole milk. And then you have onions as well in there. It's about building the different layers and not just throwing it in there so it's all muddled. So what happens like when you have like the medianoche croqueta, we even start with toasting off medianoche bread. So we use the medianoche breadcrumbs. We're not buying a bag of breadcrumbs or cracker meal or something. We're actually slicing, toasting off the breadcrumbs and making our own breadcrumbs so that then it's coated as well. So you taste the difference in that one because of the sweetness from the manchego bread. It has layers of bechamel and it has layers of mustard and the pickles and the Swiss cheese and the different ham and the pork that goes in there. So all of it, and then you have the seasonings as well too. So all of it is just like a beautiful combination, like together, then when you eat it, that's when you're having like, you know, the aha moment, like it's a medianoche. That's one of my favorite sandwiches. So that's why that one was done. You know, who doesn't love a medianoche sandwich?
Now, share a little bit more about what else you got, because now we're going to make the listeners, we're going to upset them because they're going to get very hungry, but it's for all the right reasons. Tell us a little bit about the other flavors.
We had to have our traditional ham. which is traditional ham, but not so traditional because we're using the best quality smoked ham possible. That's a traditional abuelita recipe type, where you have the little flecks of parsley as well too. And just the depth of flavor that the smoked ham gives it is incredible. We believe in also quality over quantity. And also we believe in having like a really packed with meat product as well too. So our croquetas are like very meaty. It's more of a meal than a snack. So that one is one of the ones that is traditional, even though we sell sometimes to like everybody, all different flavors and stuff. And we explain all the different flavors to people. And the end, sometimes they'll be like, okay, great. Give me 24 hams. But we have other flavors such as the buffalo cracked chicken. It's 100% chicken breast on a creamy buffalo blend. That one's a little spicy, but not super spicy. I would tell them it's kind of like alita de pollo or buffalo dip. We do a Mexican street corn, which is also shucked corn. It's roasted. We mix it in with the polenta as well, too. And then a bechamel and then cotija cheese, quesadilla cheese. That one is also another long labor of love because it's a mixture of a couple different techniques and combinations. We have our vegan croqueta, which is a spinach coconut curry. So then that's where we get into like fun flavors. I mean, they're all fun flavors to us, but you're not going to expect a coconut curry in a croqueta, much less be it vegan. So we have a little bit for everybody. That's the thing, is that when somebody comes in, then they look at the menu, there's always something. Someone's going to find something and then they find their favorites. So the best thing also is when they start sharing and they're just, you know, like here, they take a bite and then they hand it over. One of the fun things about our place.
Alec, tell me a little bit about the mashups.
So there's a couple other things that we have on the menu, and it's all the things that we like. So we do like a tostón preparada, which is like two fried plantains, a lot of sauce because we love sauce, the croquetas, the papitas, and we make them into a little bun. We do kraken tots that are really popular. So they're seasoned tater tots, and then we just load it with sauce, cheese, papita, and more croquetas. Croqueta wraps are actually a huge dish on our menu. Rice, beans, sauce, cheese, papitas, and croquetas. The whole theme is, so the croquetas are your protein, and then we have like different vehicles to put the croquetas in. And then our rice bowls are probably like the second most popular, which is just that homey feeling where you're getting the rice, your beans, your croquetas. You always got to order with a fried egg, little maduros on the side. So it's just to try to give you like your comfort dishes. You can not only come to us and have a couple croquetas and some beers or even some of the slushies, but you can also get like a full meal and feel satisfied.
And you just don't craft croquetas, you craft the dishes, and then you said slushies.
We like eating and we like drinking. So the slushies are, it's a jubino margarita with tequila that we make in-house. Both recipes we make in-house. And then the guava one is a guavarita pink lemonade with vodka that we make in-house as well.
You also crafted the whole experience when you walk in. So tell us a little bit about the location and also something you took from the beginning. There were still elements, hidden things you probably did that a lot of people might not know, but you know, because you put them there, because you know what? It reminds you of that early beginning.
With the location, we had to do everything ourselves because we didn't really have money for a designer. We didn't have money for an architect. We kind of had to design the location on our own. And obviously we had to sit with an architect and say, hey, we need someone to do the measurements and stuff. But a lot of it was the vibe that we were going with and the aesthetic that we like a lot. We really, really, really like the place to look clean. I think it's super important. I don't have a restaurant background, but I visited enough restaurants in my life to know that you have to have a place that feels clean for the customers. And then it has to be appealing also. Our location is in like a little strip mall, and we kind of tell people it's like the Narnia effect because you're going to like kind of like a little strip mall. You don't know really what you're expecting. Then you go into and you're just kind of taken into a whole new world. And then something that we took from our first spot is the neon light. So like at that warehouse, we had neon lights there to call attention because it was in like the middle of nowhere. And then we brought that piece to the store. We do a little bit of a tropical design inside, but it's kind of like tropical defined. So it's a simple take on it. When you pull up, so we have a little outdoor patio. So you have some freshly watered plants outside. And then you just see a parking lot that's just packed full of cars. And then you're walking down the strip mall. There's a peluqueria. You can get your hair cut. There's a couple of different places there. And then once you open the doors, you literally are just transported to what feels like it doesn't belong at all in the strip mall or in Miami either. It's just a very, very unique high ceilings location and very colorful and friendly and clean.
And the thing that I really love is like when you first pull up the mirror, you walk and you see the otra tiendita, the little stores. And then it's like, boom. I was like, okay, this is it.
Mi gente, when you get a chance, take it a step further after you listen. Help support Siempre Pa'lante by making a donation. This helps keep the lights on and, more importantly, brings you more cultural content and live events. Instead of buying that cafecito or fresh bagel, visit linktree.com/sp.alwaysforward. linktr.ee/sp.alwaysforward. Or go to the show notes for more info. Gracias.
Before the croquetas, there was role models, there was inspirations in La Familia, people that really taught you a lot. Who are some of those key people in your life, family members, that really inspired you and you carry those morals, those things that really they taught you? Still to this day, you do those things in their honor.
For me, it's definitely my mom. What I took away the most is the work ethic. When we were younger, like, my mom wouldn't be home a lot because she was always working, especially at night. There was days where I literally wouldn't see my mom 2-3 nights in a row. And she was always just working and working and working and working. And she wasn't complaining about working. She was just working because she knew she had to provide for the family. And she actually still works with us. She ended up joining Dos Croquetas, which is the coolest thing ever. But she really taught me that you have to be resilient. The shit hits the fan all the time. It's very, very challenging. Anything you're going to do in life is going to be hard. And especially opening up a restaurant and having a bunch of employees that you're responsible for. But her work ethic taught me to not give up no matter what, no matter how hard it is, no matter how tired you are, no matter how many challenges you're facing. Like, it's just to keep going. Literally, just keep going. Do not give up. And just keep those blinders on. Like, just stay focused on what you're doing. And she really inspired me to keep my mouth shut and just work and just get it done.
And for me, it's my parents. My parents are just outstanding people, all around great people with honesty and integrity and selflessness. They're very selfless. They have just really demonstrated that to us, and just the love that they have for each other, the love that they have for our family, always keeping us together. My mom was always, whatever you wanted to do, you can do. They always pushed us forward. You know, it's funny because my parents are a little bit of a straight lace kind of people, but that's really that integrity and that honesty is really what is instilled in us. And in the restaurant, having that kind of honesty with people and having that kind of integrity in our food and in the warmth that we give to people. And I know that people can go anywhere they want to in a restaurant. And so what we want to do and what we hope to always do is provide that kind of warmth and that kind of experience where we're putting forth excellence every day. And that shows through our food and it shows through our customers and our loyal customers that come back to us, because we know they can go anywhere else. And I sleep well at night knowing that what I do every day and the food that we put forth is just the best that we can do always. That's really important. And my parents really taught me that, just do your best always.
That's so important, what you just shared, because you carried that with you through these early beginnings, like the origin of the croquetas. Now, share a little bit about the cultural traditions and things that have impacted you that you still do to this day. Some of the things growing up, you know, where your family's from and things that have carried over into now what you do.
I mean, definitely cooking. My grandmother, I was very fortunate to have both sets of grandparents surrounding us. My mother's parents lived with us. And my father's parents lived right next door to us. So I was always surrounded by my grandparents. My grandmother was the one that was in the kitchen all the time. She would cook. She would cook everything. It was a lot of Cuban meals, but she would make other things as well, too, that would surprise me. Maybe it was like a Cuban thing, maybe not. Like, she would make this chicken a la king type thing. And I was like, is that Chinese? Is it? What is this? And so she would explore different food items. My mom kind of gave those reins to her. So that kitchen was my grandmother's. And my parents always let them kind of feel like that was their home as well, too. And so that was her domain. And so much that I could not be there all the time cooking with her because she was like, this is my kitchen. So my grandmother liked to like stay up late at night watching novelas and stuff. And so she would sleep in the morning. So I would get into the kitchen in the morning, make a huge mess, make breakfast and stuff. And that's why I think like we are very big into breakfast that we serve, because that tradition of making breakfast and stuff for like myself, and I would make stuff for my family and stuff and bake and all of those things, I guess that whole combination of things, kind of keeping that tradition with cafecito in the morning and like the tostadas. And so those were a lot of the tradition that we have as far as like breakfast and keeping that kind of into the food that we do.
What was the favorite dish that Abuelita made?
Arroz con pollo a la chorrea. I should add that beer in there. Oh, so good. That was the best.
So Alec, now the ball's in your court. What you got? Because you're ready to go.
For me, it has to be the Sunday morning Ventanita tradition. It was a time for me and my dad to literally just bond. He'd have his little cigar. I had to have my coffee because I wasn't old enough to have a cigar at the time. But it was our moment. It was our moment to bond. Every Sunday morning, we get that nice, beautiful Cuban bread, some croquetas for the house, maybe some empanadas. Going every Sunday to Ventanitas with him and just having that moment that we can just connect is what made it so special for us, or for me, at least when I wanted to open the Ventanita at the store. It's just a spot to just pause, even though there's so much movement, everyone's ordering there, there's a bunch of people talking. It's kind of like a point in time that you can just stop and connect with your family, whoever it is that you take to the Ventanita to connect with. So that's something that I'll always do. Like someday when I have a child, I'll definitely be taking them to the Ventanita and getting, of course, some croquetas with them.
It's the sharing. It's the sharing of food. Like when you sit with your family and you're all like trying different stuff and you're all compartiendo. That's really what our food does when you're sitting down with a table full of people and you're just breaking this apart and you're tasting it. Try this, try that. I mean, that's one of the greatest things is when I see people having that and they're just like, here, try this. And you get like the head bob and you're like, yeah, you know, that's awesome.
Alec, you mentioned La Ventanita. Here's a little interesting question. We know the croqueta got a ventanita. We got to put it aside. We know you're great. You're doing amazing things. So aside from the croqueta, because it's next level, what's the other ventanitas that you hold dear to your heart?
I lived next to Isla Canaria. That's the ventanita that me and my dad would go to. Literally every Sunday, we'd never miss a Sunday. That's the spot for me.
Yeah, I mean, same.
We both live next to that area, so that's our ventanita of choice.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Alec.
And this is Vicky.
We're the founders of Dos Croquetas, and you're listening to Siempre Palante, Always Forward Podcast.
So legacy is a word that I hold dear to my heart, and I always like to find out with my guests what it means to them. So legado, legacy. What does legacy mean to you, and what is your legacy?
For me, it's someone that inspires you. It's something that someone left behind that really motivates and inspires you. And more than inspires you, shows you that anything is possible, or kind of shows you that literally anything can be a reality. And I guess for my legacy, I'd like for people to know that you can literally do anything, literally. I think it's really hard to wrap your head around a big, gigantic task in life, but we came from a warehouse. I've never opened a restaurant before. I've never done any of this in my life. And we are doing it just by sheer will and determination. And I think it's really important that people understand that literally anything is possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that all the time. It just takes work. It just takes hard work and knowing that you can figure it out. Like, I guess having that confidence and knowing within that whatever it is, we'll be able to figure it out. There's information out there. We'll be able to figure it out. Legacy for me, the legacy that I would like to leave, especially with my children and stuff, is just knowing exactly like, I feel great when they're proud of me and I want them to see their mom succeed. I want them to see their mom like build something. My kids are 7 and 9. So we started this years ago when the kids were little. My daughter would tell me, Mommy, you have to go to work. And I would say, Mommy wants to go to work. I'd never said Mommy has to go to work. I said, Mommy wants to go to work because Mommy's building something. And so she understood from very little on that I'm building something, I'm building something. And I would tell her, Mommy's building an empire. I wanted to instill that in her that Mommy can be home, but Mommy's also going to go do stuff as well too. And that's going to make her happy and that's going to make people happy. And that she understood that. And she understood that through food, I can make people happy.
Gracias, Alec y Vicky, for sharing your story. Both of you have taken croquetas to a whole new level. You've not only created comfort food with your craft croquetas, but an experience that makes every customer feel like familia when visiting your croqueta bar. Next time I'm in the 305, I'm definitely stopping by. Te deseo lo mejor y más. Mi gente, take it a step further supporting the show. Rate, review, follow, like, subscribe, and share. It goes a long way. Remember, you can find the show via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Check the show notes to learn more about Alec y Vicky. A Pa'lante shout out goes to my editor, Santiago, guests, familia, and listeners. Gracias for your support. Tune in and tell a friend. Hasta la próxima. Pa'lante.